Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
I invite you to just grab your copy of God's Word and either turn or click or whatever that looks like for you to Proverbs. We're only there for a little bit longer. We've been here for probably coming up on 6 months now. Long haul through Proverbs, and we are in the final chapter, finally. Proverbs 31. And it's commonly known as the chapter of the, anyone know? The godly or proverbial woman, right? Proverbs 31 woman. But that's the latter half of the chapter. The first part of the chapter is not about that at all, in fact. So we will get to that. We will finish Proverbs in 2 weeks. And then on to 1 Thessalonians. And just a word on that. If you are wanting one of the Bible journals, those are out there. I think they're like $4 just to cover the cost of getting them. But go ahead and pick one up. And we will be in we'll be in 1 Thessalonians here in a couple weeks. Walking through that. I'm really looking forward to our time in that. And so, also want to say, sorry, all my side notes, and we will get to Proverbs, I promise. But thank you to Pastor Trent and then just all of you and just your graciousness in allowing me to step out last week and be a part of the Preaching Institute that we're doing for men that are interested in preaching. Actually, a number of them are here tonight. And just want to say thank you for leading that and for you being gracious in that. It really, I think, is serving our church and will prove to serve our church well in the coming months and years. The first session of Preachers Institute was a little over an hour and a half and drinking out of a fire hydrant, I think. But really thankful to be able to do that and looking forward to see how God will work through men being raised up to learn how to preach. So anyway, wanted to say that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You there? Proverbs 31? Okay. It's an interesting chapter, partly because it's not written by who wrote the rest of Proverbs. We know Proverbs is written by Solomon to his son, Rehoboam, but Proverbs 30 and 31 are written from different people. We know that in Proverbs 30, it's written by a man named Agur, which we know nothing about, and other than what's in Proverbs 30. And now we turn to Proverbs 31, and it's written down by a man named King Lemuel. That's in the first verse. If you see in Proverbs 31:1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel." Now, Lemuel literally translates as belonging to God, or him who belongs to God. And so who is this Lemuel, King Lemuel, or King him who belongs to God? Well, simply, we don't know. It could be that he's a king of Israel, such as Rehoboam or another person, and the title Lemuel is just a description, a king who is beloved and belonging to God. So it could still be Solomon writing to his son. More likely, though, it's a king that literally has the name Lemuel, but he's not a king of Israel. We know that much because Israel never had a king by that name. So how these words from a king that is a pagan king made its way into the canon of Scripture for the Jews, we're not sure. It's an interesting chapter. But its lessons, which Lemuel himself is not teaching, but rather recording from the words of his mother. We see that in the rest of verse 2 and verse 4. These are the words of King Lemuel, but it's an oracle that his mother taught him. And we can tell that in the next verse. She says, "What are you doing, my son?" So he's recording words that were spoken to him from his mother. Verse 4, "Is it not for kings, O Lemuel? Is it not for kings to drink wine?" or it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. So she's speaking to Lemuel. He's recording these oracles from her. And I just want to pause here. I want to pause and just kind of reflect on that for a second. This shows, firstly, the power of parental influence. Even for an adult child. This is a grown man, but he's listening to his mom's words, writing them down, cherishing them, considering them, mulling them over. And so, to parents out there with adult children, you have influence. Your voice matters. It hasn't just gone by the wayside because now they're grown and they'll follow their own ways and they're going to do what they want. Don't stop speaking into their life. Your words matter, and they listen, even if they don't always seem like they do. But this doesn't only show us that a parent's voice matters, but in fact, women's voice matters. Women's voices matter. This is powerful wisdom from God, worthy to be shared, spoken from the mouth of a woman. And hopefully this shouldn't need to be said, but it's worth saying anyway. Who were the first to go and tell of the risen Savior from the tomb? But women. And so, to the women. Guys, you can sit back for a second. Just hang out. Women. You know the same risen Savior who has risen from the grave. The tomb is empty. And so just as the first women, Mary and Mary, went and told the disciples of this risen Savior, you have the same capacity to tell of the risen Savior you know. And so use your voice as this mother did. And in fact, this mother was a queen, a woman of royalty. Likewise, you are women of royalty, daughters of the highest King. And so before we even move on to the next verses, it's worth saying that you have something to say. It's worth noting that you have something to tell. So use your voice for God's glory and for the instructions of other people. Her words as she goes on to speak to her son, Lemuel. Her words here in this chapter are commonly divided up into two sections or two poems, really. The first poem is verses 3 through 9. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight, which are about kingship. And then verses 10 through the rest of the chapter, verse 31, is all about womanhood. I don't want to get into next week's sermon too much, but it is worth noting she's speaking to a man about what to look for in a woman. See, the Bible speaks on such topics that we need to know what to look for in the other gender, not just what we need to be, but what we need to be looking for. We'll get into that later. Tonight, we're going to be looking at this first poem, verses 1 through 9. We're just going to read it all in context. They're starting in verse 1 again. This is what the Word of God says. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for the kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all those who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. We'll stop there and look at just those verses tonight. She starts with just an initial question, repeated three times. What are you doing? You ever hear that before? Someone just says, What are you doing? This is an affectionate rebuke. You know those, right? Someone you love, but you're like, yep, intervention time. What are you doing? It's out of affection. It's out of love. It's out of genuine care for him. She loves her son, but yet she needs to shoot straight with him. Call him out. Rebuke him. She loves him enough to call him out. And so she feels the sense of need to have a real conversation about the paths that he's going down, which are not good for him. And I think, again, this is so applicable to us because it is so easy to let loving relationships get away from harsh rebukes because we just don't want feathers ruffled. And we don't want things to change in the relationship. And so we just scoot that stuff under the rug. Happy to post on Facebook general arguments against things that you don't like, but when it comes to the person that you love, that family member that you care a lot about, well, now it's, I'm going to back up, and I'm probably not going to speak on that topic because I know you and I don't see eye to eye. I think we can tell from this text that it's our responsibility to call out the sin and waywardness when we see it, even in the lives of the people we love most. And not only our blood family, but our church family. Guys, one another. That when we see something in the other's life, to say, what are you doing? I love you, and I know you're going to hate what I'm saying right now. I know you hate this conversation, but I got to ask, what are you doing? I think those conversations aren't happening enough, and they need to happen in the church. So what does she see that she's so bothered by? Well, I think the following verses show us that she sees something that he's doing that he shouldn't be doing, and then something he's not doing which he should be doing. Those are the two points that we'll be looking at today. Again, it's firstly what he is doing that he shouldn't be doing, and what he isn't doing but he should be doing. Tracking with me? Firstly, her first concern is the things in which he is doing but he should not be doing. Simply put, he's indulging for self-gain things that he shouldn't be dealing with. Verses 3 through 5 says, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink it and forget what they've decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. So just laying it out there, the two things that he's engaging in, which he shouldn't be engaging in, women and alcohol. I think of I've already told this story before. When I was younger, shoplifting from Oceans of Fun. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Some people might have pretty wild testimonies. This is part of my wild testimony. Shoplifted a candy bar from Oceans of Fun and arrested. Can you believe that? From Oceans of Fun cop. Walked me right through the theme park with my hands handcuffed behind my back. I think just to shame me for it. But I remember whenever they let me go, because I was just terrified to death that I was going to jail for the rest of my life. They let me go, called my mom, she picked me up, took me home, and I remember she was just like, where'd that come from, Isaac? We didn't raise you to do that. You ever have that conversation? I did not raise you this way. That's what she's doing. He was with multiple women, women that were no good for him, any of them, and drinking when he really needed to be leading a nation. And she says, what are you doing? I didn't raise you to live like this. I think Lemuel's problem was that he thought that since he could do something, that he should do it. I think that's a lot of our problems. Just because we can, we think that we should. You see, if we go back to the text, being the king, legally and physically, he was able to take any woman, even if it was another man's wife. Think about David and Bathsheba. Because he was king, he could. But just because he could doesn't mean he should. When she says, do not give your strength to women, I don't know, but it sounds like that's a reference to Samson giving his strength over to a romantic relationship, another woman. I think that might be a reference here to he's giving himself to these women, and in doing so, relinquishing what strength he has. Being king, he could take any woman he wants, and all the women, all the concubines, but just because he could doesn't mean he should. Likewise, being king, he had full access to all the alcohol and all the booze that he would ever want. But just because he had access doesn't mean he should partake. You see, the Bible teaches that just because you can doesn't mean you should. This is true with things that we're able to do, just like he was able to take any woman he wanted. We're able to have a mini computer in our pocket with full access to the internet anytime we want. Doesn't mean that all people should do that. In fact, just the other day, Judah was reaching for my phone. I said, no, buddy, you can't take it. I put it back in my pocket. He goes, but I want one. I want a phone. I was like, no, you're 2 years old. Just because somebody can doesn't mean they should have. You may be able to spend that money on that thing, go on that trip. Just because you can, you're financially able, doesn't mean maybe you should. Just because you could divorce, walk out, financially you would be stable, doesn't mean you should. I was working at a coffee shop a couple days ago, and some middle school girls came walking in, and a group of four of them, and one was just horribly mean to another, like genuinely just tearing her down verbally. And the other girls just, you could tell that was like the pack leader. Like that nasty middle school girls, they're horrible. But anyway, the one pack leader, you know, she was just mean and vicious. She's like asserting her dominance on this other girl. Was clearly the one that, you know, she was submissive. She wasn't gonna say anything, and she just kind of like, well, you know, I don't know. And she didn't fight it. And the other two just kind of stood there because they're like, I don't want that to be me. And I'm just sitting there observing, just like heartbroken for that one girl. I just. Thinking just because you can and she won't do anything to fight back doesn't mean you should. If God gave us free rein to do anything we wanted to, as long as we were just able to do it, that was the only prerequisite, is ability, well then abortion would be permissible for the Christian. Legally you're able to. If ability was the only prerequisite, well then domestic violence would be acceptable for big, strong men. If all you need is to be able to. But we know that's nonsensical for the Christian. Having the ability to do something does not at all warrant that you should do it. Not only this is applied to things that we're able to do, but this is also true with things that we have access. Just because you have access doesn't mean you should do it. You might have access to the latest gossip when you go and hang out with your buddies, drinking coffee, talking about people. Just because you have access to hear about dirt on all the other people in the town doesn't mean that you should go and engage in that and soak that up or listen. Just because you can Gossip with coworkers doesn't mean that you should. It was true with Lemuel as well. Just because he had access to all this wine and alcohol doesn't mean that it was good for him to do it. So looking at Lemuel specifically in verses 3 and 5, his kingly access to a plethora of women and romance doesn't justify indulging in it. Likewise, his ability to drink and get all this alcohol doesn't mean that it was wise for him to do it as a king who had great responsibility and influence. And in fact, both the women and the alcohol harmed, in fact, verse 3 says, destroys his reign as a king. Don't give your strength to women, for they will destroy kings. It harms his kingly reign. It's not for you as a king to drink wine. Verse 5, lest they drink and forget what they've been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. You see these two things he's indulging in, which he shouldn't be, and it's actually harming his ability to reign. And so let's apply this to our lives for a second. How does this apply to me? How does this apply to you? Well, just looking at verse 3 first. Having access to sexually explicit relationships. Firstly, there is never a time that this is acceptable or holy or permissible in the sight of God. Just because you have access to such relationships, if somebody interested in you, that would never be permissible to entertain. This is always detrimental to our witness as God's people on earth. Always. It always will hurt your witness. It will always hurt your relationship with God. Now, regarding having the ability to drink, it's not as clear. Some of us wish it was. It's not. It's not as clear. You see, it wasn't wise for Lemuel to drink, given his particular position as king. He said it's not for kings to drink. But she never said that it was wrong for everybody to drink. We actually see that in verses 6 and 7. That's the next point that she makes. In fact, give strong drink to the one who is perishing. Give wine to those who are bitter and distressed. Let them drink. Forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. So, again, the alcohol is not as clear. We can't, and in fact, we shouldn't legislate that everyone needs to abstain from alcohol. In fact, such a position would oppose the Bible. To legislate no one is to touch it. Yet, you and I may be like Lemuel, should abstain if it seems fit or if it would hurt your witness, if it affects your particular position. Particularly if you're a leader, thinking my own role as a pastor, Lemuel as a king. I think if you're in a position of authority, leading other people, making big decisions, greater influence. I keep thinking about the Chiefs guy. Mahomes and Kelsey. Sorry, I don't watch the Chiefs, you can tell. But those guys on the parade, they have incredible influence. And I don't know if either one of them claimed to be a Christian. But having such influence on so many younger people, it would be so much better to abstain from drinking. But we can't say that's true for everybody in all situations. To do that would be legalistic. And so her first concern is he's doing things which he shouldn't be doing in his position. Secondly, her concern is that he's not doing things that he should be doing in his position. Verses 8 and 9, that's the last couple verses. She says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all those who are destitute. Open their mouth, open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. You can think of times where you see somebody and you just can't help but think, they're wasting their gift. wasting away their talent. Like they have, if I just had an ounce of what they have. But I see they have it and they're just throwing it away. You know what I'm talking about? You might see that with a professional athlete, some kind of prominent speaker or spokesman, preacher, a political figure. It could be anything. Somebody has something and you're like, what are you doing? You have this incredible gift, this lofty position, and you're ruining it. You're wasting it. You're throwing it down the drain. And that's exactly what Lemuel's mom is saying here. What are you doing? My son, what are you doing? You're the king. You're the man at the highest position. You can help people. You can really make a difference here. And you're just wasting your position away. Not helping people who need it. You're blowing it. That's what she's saying. And so what do we do with this text? Well, first, I just want to run to Jesus and see that Jesus isn't like Lemuel, and he's actually the perfect demonstration of what she's recommending here in verses 8 and 9. Jesus does it perfectly. He is indeed King of heaven. He is King Jesus. Lemuel didn't care for the lowly, but you know what the gospel is? The gospel message is that King Jesus did verses 8 and 9 right here perfectly. For your benefit and mine. He looked down from his throne to his creation, the world in which he spun. He looked down, he saw poverty, inequality, destitution, violence, pain, suffering, your hardships. He saw it from his throne. And he didn't just grab some women and a bottle of wine. He got off his throne and he stepped down from heaven. He acted on your behalf and my behalf. He does all that verses 8 and 9 say. He judges sinners. He rebukes the proud. He silenced the enemy. He killed death, our greatest enemy. He lifts up the brokenhearted. He died for the needy. He redeems the suffering. So I don't know if you just need to be just encouraged by the gospel tonight. You may be a Christian. You've been a Christian for 40 years. I don't know if you just need to be encouraged by the gospel tonight. That King Jesus, the one who created the cosmos, saw you and sees you in your need, in your suffering, in your hardship, in your concerns, in your worries, in your pain. And he acts because he is a good king who loves his people and in fact was willing to suffer alongside you and for you. That you would be freed from that pain and suffering for all of eternity to enjoy his perfect presence with him forever. That's the gospel, is that Jesus is the perfect king. King Lemuel wasn't. But I also want to apply this to our lives. I don't only want to see Jesus in this, but I also want to see how we could be this. I want us to ask the question, where do we have power and need to use it for other people? That was Lemuel, right? He was in a power of authority, but he wasn't using it for the benefit of other people. Where do we have power and we're not using it for others? I just want you to think about that for yourself tonight. Think globally with me. Our position is that we are crazy wealthy compared to everyone else in the world. We have access to healthcare that millions and millions couldn't even dream of. Most of all, we have this. A knowledge of our Creator and instructions of how to pursue Him and live with Him. We have access to this. Millions don't. So think about the power, the what we have in our hands. And so our responsibility is to share that, to spread our goods, especially the good news of Jesus. And I know non-Christians would say, I don't owe them anything. I didn't do that. It's not my fault. It's not my problem. I didn't do that to them. That's not the Christian, though. That shouldn't be you. The Christian says, what I have is not my own anyway. What I own, what has been given to me, is by grace anyway. And so may I share it. And if we don't, let us all hear the parental rebuke. What are you doing? You have, but you're not using it for others. Think politically. Our position is, me, you, we're capable to defend ourselves. We love our guns, don't we? Capable to defend ourselves. We can vote. We can speak out. We can fight for ourselves. And so I think our responsibility is to fight for those who literally are mute. The unborn is top of the list. Can't defend themselves. To be spokesmen against abortion. And I know some might say, why do they just keep bringing this up? Let me tell you, this is the greatest genocide in human history under our very noses, which we're just sick of talking about. That's sad. Let me just give you a statistic that might just kind of wake up your concern for it. Between the Civil War, World War I, World War II, and Vietnam, put all of those and the American casualties that happened in those four major wars, you get approximately 1.3 million Americans dying. That's a lot of Americans. 1.3 million. But then you look at the number of unborn babies who've died. It doesn't only double. It doesn't triple. It doesn't quadruple. It doesn't multiply by 10, the American casualties of those four wars. It doesn't multiply it by 20. It doesn't multiply it by 30 or 50. It multiplies that number by 65. Approximately 65 million people murdered under our noses. So some might think, give it a rest. Sick of hearing about it. Let me tell you, giving it a rest on this topic, saying nothing about it, is detestable. And God would say, what are you doing? You have a voice. Use it for the mute. You can defend. Do it for those who can't defend themselves. You have. Use it for others. So, if I were just to summarize these 9 verses here, I would say, firstly, let's think about our Savior, the King in heaven. He could.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.